First, local control has been a hot-button issue in Wisconsin, particularly under the Walker administration. Democrats have said that Republican leadership is chipping away at the power local governments have to make decisions about labor, education, and the environment. Republicans have responded by saying they're interested in saving taxpayers money, something Governor Walker called the ultimate form of local control. We invited two state lawmakers to share their thoughts on the idea of local control and how it plays out in Wisconsin. Diane Hesselbein is a Democrat representing the 79th Assembly District, which includes Middleton and Wanakee, and Rob Hutton is a Republican representing the 13th Assembly District, which includes Brookfield. They joined us earlier today. Representative Hutton, as a general principle, before we dig into particular issue areas, where do we draw the line when it comes to state government overriding local governments? What's your basic philosophy there?
Yeah, it's a great question. And Rob, thanks again for having us on. And I know Joseph Hesselbein and I have probably some similar areas in this discussion and probably some areas that we differ on. But it becomes one of part philosophical in terms of, number one, how do you define local control? And I think that's probably definitions are always important when we try to speak into them. So how do you define local control? And then philosophically, how do you use that filter of local control when you're making policy decisions that have ramifications both locally as well as at the state level? I think the best way that I do that is simply to say, if there are issues that are isolated to local municipalities in this case or local units of government that don't have any ramifications on a broader level, those to me are pretty clearly local issues that should be left to locals to decide. Issues that locals are involved in and locals drive the discussion with, but can have broader implications outside of that local unit of government. Again, whether that's schools or whether that's a local municipality or whether that's even county, then I think that's when we become a little bit more gray in deciding if local decisions have broader impact. Then I think there's a logical discussion and argument to be made for, is there an area for the state to play a role in terms of either guiding, directing, or statutorily requiring state oversight for those? And again, pretty complex filter. It's often a partisan but also a bipartisan issue depending on what that issue is. And so I think we have to go through those issues one by one and carefully to make sure we understand what the ramifications are for the locals, what the ramifications are for a broader level of government.
And I want to jump in, Representative Hutton, and bring in
means long term.
I want to bring in Representative Hesselbein. And again, before we get into particular issues, do you have an overriding principle, Representative Hesselbein, when it comes to local control versus state government overrides?
I definitely have very strong opinions about local control. You know, since taking power in 2010, Republicans have passed more than 124 changes to state law that take away authority from local governments. As a former Dane County board member and as a former school board member for the Middleton Cross Plains Area School District, I think that most decisions that people make on the local level are extremely important and that Republicans used to be the party of local control, but now they are the party of complete control. And I disagree with that.
And Representative Hutton, let's get into a particular issue. You've worked on some things related to labor, barring local governments from requiring, for example, that contractors reach a project labor agreement with unions on publicly funded projects. Talk about how that fits into local control. Why is that something that local governments shouldn't have the flexibility to set for themselves?
Sure. And I think that's a great case in point. I think that goes back into, again, the filter of are there decisions being made by local units of government that can have a statewide impact? And that certainly, in my mind, would be the case for project labor agreements because while it has been the purview of a local unit of government to set the dictates for how a private sector contractor has to function for a publicly funded project within that municipality, the ramifications of that don't just impact that local municipality. The impacts of that are seen both within the private sector with private sector construction firms, both those that reside within that municipality and those that reside around the state that would otherwise be well qualified and well deserving of participating in those projects. But because of decisions made by a local unit of government, there are employers and significant numbers of employees that are negatively impacted because they are boxed out of even the RFP process, not to mention the awards that go with those RFPs to perform projects and to receive the work on an hourly basis to perform those projects. And so we look at those and say, we think policy that has the possibility of implicating greater negative impact for not just issues within that local municipality, but for individuals and, in this case, contractors on a statewide basis, need to be limited and need to be prevented, because all individuals who have the ability to participate in that type of project deserve the right to do so.
And Representative Hasselbein, what's wrong with that? If a local government's decision is hurting businesses around the state, distorting the labor market in effect, should the state step in?
This is just another long line of attack against workers. And the evidence shows that public labor agreements utilized in Wisconsin have had all the desired impacts on time, on budget, safety, hiring preferences for veterans, which Representative Houghton knows is extremely important to me, often with local hiring preferences, so that for these projects you are hiring your hardworking neighbors, not people from out of state, and providing good family-supporting wages and benefits, both on public and private projects. Public labor agreements have built things from construction on Disney World to Northwestern Mutual's new tower, Toyota plants across the country, and even Lambeau Field. And if successful, cost-efficient businesses use public labor agreements, local government should at least have the option to consider it. It's very important for the state of Wisconsin.
So it's a system that, for local governments, works, Representative Houghton, according to Representative Hasselbein.
Well, again, I think we have to be careful when we're talking about that we care for and we're looking at impacting all workers, because roughly 20% to 25% of all construction workers in the state of Wisconsin are represented by some union affiliation. And it tends to favor those individuals that have that representation, which I am perfectly fine with. I think unions have their place and should thrive like all other entities in the state. The problem becomes when RFPs in this case are
requests for proposal
isolationists in terms of those companies and those employees that are represented from participating. In essence, it does harm a significant labor pool in Wisconsin of those workers that aren't represented by, in this case, labor unions. I would agree with Representative Hasselbein. I think we should care about workers, but I don't think we should discriminate about those that we really prefer based on having some type of representation. I think we want to care for our neighbors, both to my left, who's a union representative worker, and those to my right, who are a non-union representative worker, to have equal opportunity to provide for their family, regardless of what those jobs are and regardless of where those jobs are.
So we even had
amendments for this bill last time that said we'd like to give preference to veterans, we'd like to give preferences to Wisconsin workers, and those were all rejected. So, I mean, we tried to work with us to make it for our neighbors in the state of Wisconsin, and that's not what this bill did.
Representative Houghton?
Sure, and again, I think we have a lot of legislation out there that we have strong bipartisan support for our veterans and opportunities we want for them to be able to come back and receive the training appropriate for them to reintegrate back into the workforce. This specific issue around PLAs really had very little to do, if anything, with individuals who have prior military service. It simply said, let's open the playing field, because we have non-union and union members who both have past military background. We want all of those individuals who have those specific honors within our state to thrive, and project labor agreements didn't provide that umbrella coverage for all veterans, regardless of what firm they worked for and the type of work that they did within that vocational trade.
Representative Hasselbein, we focused in on this one particular example. Are there other examples where you pointed toward a bunch of different Republican legislation that you say overrode local control? What are other ones that have concerned you over the past few years?
Oh, boy, there are so many. Certainly this project labor agreements is one of the ones that I still hear about from people in my district that they're very upset about. It seems like every other day they're taking something away. I think Representative Hump, you were on the Waukesha County Board as well, weren't you?
That's correct.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, do you hear back home from, like, the Counties Association wondering when you're taking away local control from the unit of government you used to serve? Do people ask you about that?
No, I really don't. And Representative Hasselbein, I really don't see inconsistencies with where we've aligned counties and their roles within the various levels of state government. I mean, to some degree, county government is an extension of state government, and there's a lot of collaboration and needed to be relative to the function that we have at the state and at the county level. I've heard very little from the Counties Association or our county executive around any issues that we even looked at here in the state. In fact, I think they've seen us as a good partner for enabling collaboration, enabling more cooperation amongst counties, things that we've really led the charge on to ensure that those counties are functioning as efficiently as they possibly can be.
And I wanted to ask the legislation on minimum wage. We've seen this around the country, local governments setting a minimum wage higher than the state minimum. You're a co-sponsor of a bill, Representative Hutton, that I think had a public hearing this week. It would prevent that happening. Can you talk about why the state should be involved in preventing local governments from changing their minimum wage?
Sure. Well, again, I think it's another good case in point for where local decisions, in this case around labor wages, has a broader ripple effect across the state. And I think we've given the role and responsibility both at the federal and state level to set wage scales. And I think if you begin to look at individual municipalities trying to determine minimum wages for especially government projects, which is really what they're looking to do, you're putting, again, the employers and the employees of those firms that would look to perform those projects, whether they're new schools being built or revamping a city hall or constructing a library, you're putting those employers in a very difficult position of having to manage operations that are unique within each municipality and having to comply with, in this case, wage laws that are different, not only depending on the municipality, but also depending on the project. And it's very difficult as an employer to be able to manage an employee base and not have employees concerned about why am I being assigned to this project when it's one minimum wage law, when I would love to go work on this project because it's, quote, another 10 cents an hour based on that local municipality. Again, I think we're looking at how do we provide consistency for our employee and employer community to function well within our state.
And I want to bring Representative Hesselbein in on this one now. The minimum wage, a local government's ability to set a higher wage, especially in government projects. What's your take on this?
I absolutely think that local governments should be able to figure out what they need for a minimum wage. I think having a one-size-fits-all doesn't work for the state of Wisconsin because the needs in Waukesha are very different than Dane County, which is very different than Dunn or Pepin, and the average home isn't the same either, or rental, or you know, if they're renting, the rent unit prices are different. So I think those decisions are best made on a local level. It kind of makes me think of my daughter, who's a CNA, and she is working in Dane County, and she can go to different places and different nursing homes and try to get a job, and they're all paying different things based on their need and based on how much they're willing to pay her. But that's true. That same premise is true for the entire state of Wisconsin. And those people that live there know those communities. They know what's a fair minimum wage, and we should be letting them tell people what that should be, not coming from the state, because whether it's $10 an hour, $15 an hour, $12 an hour is very different in Dane County than it is in Rhinelander and other things as well. So I think local control is very important.
That's all the time we have. Representative Hesselbein, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being invited.
And Representative Hutton, thanks to you as well.
It was a pleasure to join you. Thank you for the discussion.
That was Democrat Diane Hesselbein and Republican Rob Hutton, both assembly representatives here in Wisconsin. They joined us earlier today to talk about the power local governments should or shouldn't have to override state law on things like wages, benefits, and worker protections. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we continue the conversation. Have you seen a lack of local decision-making power affect things in your community? When should the state override local laws? When should it keep its hands off? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time.